2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to our Domination Station, which just churned out a couple thousand airs the other night, VIP articles and tools, and of course, the Slack chat channel, which you can chat with me, Bear, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army. You can do so, once again, DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Shy Moshe at Mr. Bear here. So, Bear, looks like we got a new member to the DFS Army team today.
Yes, yes. Welcome, Mr. Benjamin. Woo! Pleasure to have you on board.
Yeah. Very nice. Right now, Ben comes to us. Well, he actually came to us before, and then he went on with CG and did Daily Roto Sharks. I guess everything didn't really turn out the way that they thought it would. And, you know, this is what I wanted to talk about with this move, too, because, folks, you are rocking with the best right now, the DFS Army. Like, there is no doubt about it. Do you know how hard it is to do a DFS? I tried once myself and failed miserably. And just put all my talents into the, you know, to the team that the Army had going. I was actually in there at the beginning. But it is so hard to get one of these companies going. I think the hardest thing really is getting a following going. Because, I mean, if you don't have enough members, you know, you're not going to have enough dues coming in. You're not going to be able to pay quality writers and whatnot. But it is really hard, man.
It's hard. And, you know, the most important part, not only about this particular company or industry, I should say, but any business is you got to have the right ownership and leadership to be behind you and to support you and to have the backing. And we all know we have that.
Geek.
Super stoked. Yeah, he's great. And, you know, as you could see, adding more talent is never an issue, and content daily and pods. And obviously our Domination Station is dominating. So, welcome aboard. Everybody, consider yourselves super lucky to be able to be a part of what it is that we're doing here. And we're going to continue to grow.
So yeah.
Let's do it.
And I like, and again, too, with our team, man, there is just no sort of envy or sort of hatred or anything like that. Like, everybody's working to go towards this huge goal and just make everybody a shit ton of money. So, like, when Geek asked everybody, he's like, hey, you know, anybody objections? Like, not one person had anything bad to say. Everyone was like, yeah, this is all good. So, you know, we all vouch for Ben, and, you know, he's definitely going to bring a lot of good quality info to our site. So glad to have him on board today. Now we go from quality to straight up shit, and that's the situation that the San Antonio Spurs are in tonight. So I don't know if you've ever taken a look at which cities have the highest elevation in the National Basketball Association. But, of course, Denver is number one, and they are – I just had the picture a little while ago. What do we got here? So Utah is 4,265 feet above sea level, okay? Yeah. So that's where the Spurs played last night. Tonight, they're going into Denver, where they got the elevation there at 5,191 feet there. So – you got the two worst cities for that. And by the way, number three is OKC at like 1,200. So, you know, it's a huge drop-off. So the Spurs have these two games here. Not going to be an easy situation for them at all tonight. We know that Pop is going to rest some of his elderly gentlemen on that team. So just going to be kind of a wait-and-see situation throughout the day.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, a bit of injury news there as well that we have to wait for and see how that plays out. And, you know, I already got about five questions in our Slack chat about what happens, you know, if Jamal Murray doesn't play. So for those of you that don't know, Jamal Murray from the Denver Nuggets seems to be a little bit uncertain. He did not go through shoot around today. He's questionable.
Chest soreness. You gotta wonder if he was playing like, what's that where you take as many punches from your buddies, to see how many you can get.
It must be a Brooklyn thing, maybe. But
just say chest soreness. I don't know. I don't know.
The game before that, it was his hip. So who knows what it really is? But
he's just getting thrown down the stairs in the greater Denver area, it seems like.
So I personally think he does not play. And I say that because, number one, we're really close to the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I mean, the Spurs are great, but like you said, they played last night. They're down some players. I think his hip is still a little bit of a concern, to the point where it'll be wiser for them to not push their starting point guard before the All-Star break and let him take the All-Star break to rest as well. So I brought up a few usage notes here in case he does sit.
Okay.
So the first one that jumps out at me, and the funny thing is, Al, is I was going to be all over this play even with Jamal Murray, and now without Jamal Murray, this guy goes up 3.4 per usage points without Jamal, and that's Trey Lyles. So Trey Lyles goes from 21 to 24.4, and that, by the way, is without Jamal, without Plumlee, and without Millsap, who hasn't played much at all. But just, you know, the formula that I used there. Yeah, bingo. So we've got so Lyles for and we have over 1,000 minutes sample, so it's not like it's a couple of games, right? It's over 1,000 minutes. So that's a play I really like. The next guy that, if he doesn't play, I think is going to be a must play is going to be Will Barton. Will ultimately run a lot of the point guard. He does anyways, even with Jamal Murray with the second unit. And so, you know, if Jamal doesn't go, I think those two are fantastic plays.
You know, what's pretty interesting is that Devin Harris actually got moved to Denver at the trade deadline. I don't think anybody knows that he's even on the Nuggets right now. But if if Jamal Murray doesn't play tonight, I'm going to be pretty interested to see, you know, if Devin Harris maybe gets to start, maybe gets, I don't know, 25 minutes. But I believe he's right near min price. So could be an interesting pump play. We could talk about it later when we get to that position. But I don't know, just something I kind of saw going into today.
Yeah.
All right. Let's break down these positions like we were just talking about. Got through all our rants there at the beginning, and now we get to see if we can put Russell Westbrook in our lineups tonight. He is taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers, listed as questionable still. He has missed the last two games. If he does go tonight, what's your thoughts here?
If he does, you got to play him. I mean, the guy's been off two games. I mean, Russ is a monster on back-to-back. Can you imagine what he could do with some rest?
Nah.
He's going again. Now, here's where it's going to get a little bit tricky. So we know that Westbrook, for the most part, is pretty much matchup-proof. There's not...
Yes, I would say that, yes.
Yeah, there aren't many guys in the league that are going to slow him down, yet alone stop him.
Except Caris LeVert, but, you know.
Except Caris. Definitely not except Caris LeVert.
It happened. It happened in Mexico. I was, you know, there on TV.
So I was there on TV. All right. So anyways, one thing that will be a little bit deceiving is Cleveland all season long prior to the trade deadline, atrocious at guarding opposing backcourts, particularly point guards, particularly Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
And every pod I've ever done that the Cavs are on the slate is attack the Cavs in the guard spot, right? It's a broken record.
Yeah.
They have gotten significantly better with their upgrades and the moves that they made at the trade deadline.
Indeed.
George Hill, you and I both love. I didn't love him all year because
absolutely.
He was with the Kings, but now that he's on a contender, this is kind of where he belongs. He's not much of an offensive guy, although he can put up points, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But he's a defensive guy. So I could see them saying, look, your job. Don't worry about shooting the ball. Get on him and put your body on Westbrook. But having said that, he's still pretty much matchup proof. I don't see, you know, George Hill completely stopping him, but it's not going to be as a cakewalk as it was earlier in the season when, you know, what they beat them by 30 or whatever that game was.
It was a total spanking. What the Cavs? I believe they scored 124 and lost by 24 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, it was ugly. And so I think we actually see. I'm hoping Russ plays, man. I really want to see this game because now you're going to see a rejuvenated Cavs team, which we saw that first game after the trade deadline. And I do think, and we'll get to the power forwards here, obviously, later on, but I do see, you know, a lot more of Larry Nance being incorporated into here because they'll need him, particularly if Melo doesn't play, then it'll be a lot more, excuse me, a lot more of, thank you, a lot more of Grant, Jeremy Grant, and he's a guy who's more of an athletic guy than Melo probably ever has been. And so you're going to want more Larry Nance there. So keep an eye out for that as well. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a great play, a great game. But the – so my favorite play at the point guard spot is actually not Russ.
Oh.
My favorite play is the other half of your man crush tandem, and that's Chris Paul.
I've seen a lot of love for him today.
I mean – so first of all – Minnesota. I mean, that defense is horrible.
Trash.
Right? Outside of Jimmy Butler, who we know is a
which
beast.
Is crazy because Tommy Tibbs, that's his forte.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Good point. It was.
Not anymore. I mean, you know, listen, a lot of that has to do with personnel. So, you know what else you got?
I mean, he runs these guys into the ground for about 37 minutes a night. So they're probably like, fuck you, Tibbs. Like, I'm not playing defense tonight.
I would listen. If I had to play that much in pickup games, I would say fuck you.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like. Believe me, I played that much last night and I've been hurting all morning. So,
nice.
But yeah, so a couple things about Chris Paul. Number one, we talked about the defense. Number two, you've got a 225.5 over under on this game. And Houston's only favored by 2.5. So chances are Chris Paul will be on or be guarded, I should say, by Jeff Teague. So, I mean, how do you not love Chris Paul in this spot? I love him. He's going to play over 30 minutes. If D'Antoni had his way, he'd probably play 48 minutes, but he won't. He's my favorite point guard.
Here's an interesting part. So this is really tough to think about the matchups they're going to play in this game. And the thing that I noticed first about this was Houston only favored by 2 at the open, since gone to 2.5. I think that's really good news for the T-Wolves. I think, you know, obviously we see the Rockets favored so much. We're going to talk about this in Slack later, but there's a it's called Vegas Insider, and you can go back and check and see exactly what each point spread was on each game. So I got to go back and see what the Rockets were. I could probably do this during the show, actually, but
yeah.
You know, just seeing the Rockets as 2-point favorites is visually like, whoa.
It's crazy.
Holy crap. Right. So I definitely like more T-Wolves in this game. However, if you know, we're taking a look at the new and revamped adjusted DVP charts. Thank you, everybody, working behind the scenes on that.
Thank you.
Yes, it is my holy grail. But the place to attack Minnesota is definitely in the backcourt. You know, so yeah. I think Chris Paul or James Harden can be very nice here. Now, again, with the matchups, I'm not going to worry about that too much because I think there's times that you're going to see Harden on, like, you know, James Harden. You're going to see Butler on Chris Paul. Like, I just think that things are going to be up in the air pretty much all night. It's both teams are very good on offense, very good on defense. I just think we're going to see a really good high scoring basketball game tonight. So
we are. I mean, and so here's my thinking, and I'm not a Vegas insider, but I've been watching this league for just a little bit amount of time here, and I think, and my thoughts are the reason why it's 2.5. So if you want to attack a team, you gotta attack the head of the beast, right? And the head of the beast is James Harden. And so the player that the Wolves have that is their defensive monster is Jimmy Butler. So I can see Butler taking on a lot of, maybe not to open the game, but I would say 70% of the game that they're both in, I can see Butler on Harden. Now, that doesn't mean Harden won't do anything. Harden's, wow, right? We know that. But I think I might have to go with a Harden fade on this game and go more towards Chris Paul, because I think Chris Paul won't have anybody on him. And I think they're going to have Butler on Harden most of the game. And again, he'll score, but what is Harden priced at?
I believe 11.5.
11.3 on FanDuel.
Oh.
Guy being guarded by Jimmy Butler. I might want to think twice.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is that Harden actually has a higher usage rate. It's like 4% more than Russell Westbrook. And he's $800 cheaper than him on FanDuel. So, yeah. You know how numbers are. You could twist them any which way you want to make them seem good. But, you know, again, I think everybody in this game is going to do well tonight. I mean, you brought it up the last time that the Rockets were on the slate about guys having pretty good nights against Chris Paul. So I don't even think that you can discount Jeff Teague in this matchup. Again, it's getting towards the All-Star break, you know. Guys probably aren't going to be as defensive-minded as they usually are. So, you know, you can take these things into account. Maybe try to take advantage of it for one night. All right. So, I love that game there at Houston, Minnesota. Now, since we're talking about point guards, I'm not going to get there yet. I want to talk about Kyle Lowry real quick. So, it's funny. We're talking about numbers. You could twist them whichever way you want. So, according to the ADVP, point guards against Miami, not doing so hot this season. They are like murder scene red. Now, you look at the defensive real plus minus ratings, and you got Dragic and TJ. I would say probably in the bottom, I don't mean like the bottom 50 of the league. I mean, it's not good, but it's just interesting to see their numbers there and then see the adjusted DVP number there. I don't know if you remember this. Last time Toronto and Miami played, it was actually in Toronto. Very, very spirited game there. A lot of fisticuffs there at the end. So certainly no love lost between those two teams. So I was going to ask you, with that being said, do you see this game being more of a defensive-minded, or could it be like a very sneaky shootout maybe?
I don't see it going the shootout route.
All right.
I mean, and I say that because I think the Heat know that if they do, they'll lose. And so, you know, the Raptors, so I get asked a lot, particularly on Twitter, you can follow me there at Mr. Bear here. I get asked a lot about, hey, why are the Raptors better this year? I mean, they've always had DeRozan and Lowry, right? What's different? And here's what's different. What's different is they're no longer a slow team, meaning they don't have their traditional bigs like they did with Valanciunas and even Ibaka. They run Ibaka some at the five now, and what they do is they'll go Lowry, DeRozan, Wright, Van Vliet, and Ibaka, or Poeltl, or Siakam, or Nogueira, right? One of those guys, depending on who the matchup works out for. Yeah. And so they've picked up their pace tremendously, and they've become a team now where you listen, depending on who you are, but if you're the Heat, you can't outrun them. I mean, the Warriors and the Rockets, yeah, fine. But these guys aren't those teams. So if the Heat want to win this game, they've got to slow the game down. They've got to go down low to Whiteside and have Whiteside dominate his matchup in order for them to win. To me, that takes away the upside of a guy like Kyle Lowry.
Okay. You know, you asked yourself the question, why, or people asked you, why is Toronto so good this season? You know what I think? Strength in numbers, right? So I'm just talking about their top 10 in their rotation. All 10 guys are very good at basketball. Like, they don't have any weak spots at all in their, you know, in their first two rotations. So honestly, Toronto's my pick from the East to go to the finals before we get there. It's going to be not going to be a popular one, but I think where Toronto's really going to make their big push is the fact that their second unit could probably just shit on a couple people's first units. So the fact that they're just so solid in a seven-game series, I think that's going to win out a lot more times than not. And Hey, you know what? I know everybody thinks Cleveland's going to get this done now after one magical game against the Celtics, but I still really like Toronto to come out of the East this year.
I give them a chance. I mean, I won't give them, you know, no chance. I give them a punch, more than a puncher's chance.
Oh, I'm not expecting any agreement on this at all. Like, it's
I'm telling you, I do, because I they are not the same Raptors that we've seen over the last 5 years. I'm telling you, they're a different team.
Yep.
They're significantly stronger and deeper on the bench. They're athletic. They're quicker. They have more guards. I really like what they did over there. And the thing about the Raptors is, the reason why you're not going to get much agreement, nobody knows about them.
That's true. People don't like Canadians either, you know? I mean, jeez.
I like Canadians. You just for yourself. We do not discriminate against Canadians at the Army. We love all people the same.
We love the Mounties up there. Yes. Well done, guys. You guys doing great work up there.
Yeah. On a serious note, when's the last time you saw them on a national TV game?
They blew Cleveland out by like 40.
Yeah, and that was like the first game of the season they were on national TV. I mean, you look at it, like Cleveland is on like 1,000 times. Yeah. The Lakers, who have not been very good, are on like 25 times a season on national TV. These guys aren't.
Gotta get that league pass, folks. Gotta get it, man. Yeah. And that's a free ad read, NBA. We should get some money there. All right, so we're talking about slow games. Well, we got a slow game, but I love the point guard matchup here. Dennis Smith Jr., De'Aaron Fox going head-to-head against each other tonight, the two rookies. What's great about this, by the way, both players here, right? Dennis Smith Jr., De'Aaron Fox, in the bottom 10 in defensive real plus-minus. Bear, that's out of 488 NBA players. God. These guys are listed as in the bottom 10 of defending in the NBA.
Listen,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, like, the pace of these two teams. So Sacramento at 26, Dallas at 27. They have been a little faster with Dennis Smith Jr. back. But, again, I mean, I like taking the chance. I don't know if many will, though.
Dude, I love that. Because as slow as the pace is, I think that's what's going to say – So, a lot of DFS players, particularly the more casual ones, I mean, I don't, you know, we're obviously not casuals, but the more casual players will look at that game and say, those two teams suck.
Uh-huh.
Well, but that's what you want. You want two teams that suck, because those two teams that suck don't play defense,
yeah,
like you just said. So, I think I wouldn't be against ping-ponging these two point guards. Obviously, I mentioned how much I love Chris Paul today. But I think, you know, between the two of them, I'm just going to look at – so I think Dennis Smith Jr., he's not the greatest defender, like you said, but he's probably a little bit better than De'Aaron Fox, who's really bad at defense. And so if you're going to target one of those two, it would be Dennis Smith. But here's the thing. Dennis Smith Jr. is at 7,400 now.
Yes, that was going to be my next point.
So that's a tough pill to swallow. And if you feel the difference between the two of them is minuscule, then for 1,400 less, I would go Fox.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? You brought up usage before. I was about to say, oh, you know, we're on the same wavelength today. And I was looking at some of the usage rates. So if you look at it, De'Aaron Fox priced down at $6,000. That's probably the best usage rate for a point guard you'll get for that money.
Yeah.
You look at some of these other guys, like Dennis Schroeder has a really high usage rate, and he's all the way up at, like, you know, 7,600. Russell Westbrook, right, obviously, at, like, you know, right, 33 million, whatever his number is. he's like a kabillion, gajillion dollars as well. So, again, yeah. I think that, you know, and again, here's what's interesting is that, you know, Fox, you know, his team, they kind of have a set rotation now of about 10 guys. Dennis Smith Jr., got J.J. Barrett. Like, you know, remember, all the guys are back now for tonight, or they're probable for tonight. So you got, correct, like, Barea back, Matthews back. Who else? Like, Yogi's going to, you know, still have to get minutes, but, yep, you know, going to, yep, take some of a back seat. So, again, I think Fox's minutes are a little more solid, and, again, you get a lot of savings there as well.
Yeah, agreed. And then we obviously have to talk about if Westbrook does sit, then Felton becomes tremendous value.
Sure, sure. And again, he's going to be, he'll probably get that matchup with George Hill. So is that something you want?
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's talk about... I saw, you know, obviously it's not the greatest matchup for Schroeder, but, man, the guy's playing ball lately. Could you take that chance in GPPs tonight?
For who? Say it again.
For Schroeder.
So I do. I played him, as you know, what I do is the night before. I do some research when the slate ends, and I put together some mock tournament lineups, mm-hmm. and I flocked there. So a couple things. So first of all, obviously Milwaukee is a good defensive team as a whole, right? But I look at the way their lineup is constructed, and I look at Eric Bledsoe at the point guard. He doesn't play much defense. That's been a knock on him since he came into Milwaukee, and so I think that opens up a little bit of opportunity for Schroeder to be able to do some damage. I don't like the rest of the matchups there in terms of Bazemore, but I can definitely get behind Schroeder. Yeah, absolutely.
And then a guy you brought him up a couple days ago, but Tyler Dorsey still right near min price. I didn't get a look at him on DraftKings, but any interest in going there again?
I have a lot of interest, primarily because he's 3,700 on FanDuel. He's going to get, 22, 25 in that range minutes. Mm-hmm. He can light it up. He hasn't been, but he can. What is the spread of that game? 7.5. So it's not a blowout. It's a higher total than the Kings and Mavs.
Yeah.
Game. So, yeah, might be a little bit sneaky.
All right. Any other point guards you wanted to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, I got to see. More of a warning to the crowd out there, and everybody knows this, but the Spurs played yesterday. Pop really doesn't like playing his players back to back. So my methodology for playing the Spurs on back to backs is the following. Open up the game log, the box score, see who played over 30 minutes, and don't play those guys in the next game with the exception of LaMarcus Aldridge.
Eliminate them from your life.
I mean, that's just the way it works, right? I mean, that's the way he works. There was a time where we're just like, oh, what is he doing? But right. That's what he does. It's not that hard. And so Dehunte played a lot, but he's just coming back from not playing for a handful of games. So I think you can probably still play Dehunte. He gets a pretty good matchup versus Denver in a massively paced up game for them. If you have those pace numbers on both those teams, that would be great.
For Denver and San Antonio?
Mm-hmm.
I got you. They are... Blah, 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 blah. San Antonio is at 29, and then you got Denver tied for 17th.
Yeah, so a little bit of a pace up. Not massive, but a pace up nonetheless. And that is... a hammer game too on TNT, and players love to show up for TNT games.
I love TNT. We know drama.
We know drama. Did we talk about George Hill yet? No.
Not really, but we can. Yeah.
So George Hill, I really like the play. He's $4,800. He is now in his second game with the Cavs, and they've had, probably, what, two or three practices in already. We have him projected at 30 minutes going against a really fast-paced team, and they're a fast-paced team themselves at $4,800. I think Hill's a phenomenal play in all formats.
That first game that the new Cleveland Cavaliers got together, Hill wanted no part of shooting that basketball. I don't know if it was just because his first game. He's like, oh, am I allowed to shoot this many times on LeBron's team? Like, he just looked really unsure. I was pretty pissed off because I was heavy into Hill. I thought, he would be a nice three-point addition for the Cavaliers, and he just didn't feel like shooting. So I wonder, they go back, they get on the plane or whatever to OKC, and LeBron's like, hey, man, you're allowed to shoot on my team,
Shoot the ball.
That's the conversation I wish happened right there because, man, that really pissed me off with Hill. He did get two quick fouls, too, which didn't help his cause, but Yeah, again, if he gets Ray Felton tonight, I'm gonna like that matchup a lot more. And I'll probably say it right now, if Westbrook doesn't play tonight, I would probably use Fox and Hill as my point guards.
Yeah, I wouldn't
just cut
disagree
some
with
salary
that.
Right off the top, right there. Bajing, bajow, bajoom.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm good with that.
All right. Shooting guards. Moving on.
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Jimmy James Harden. I mentioned he's on the slate tonight against these Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, we already talked about this game in the point guard section when we were talking about Chris Paul.
Right.
I mean, he's probably going to have a tough matchup at some points against Jimmy Butler. But, again, we're talking about Harden. He's not going to see Butler all game long. So, again, I think he's fine. But I want to see what happens with Westbrook before allocating a lot of my salary to Harden.
So here's what's going to happen. If Westbrook plays, Harden will go almost under-owned. If Westbrook sits, Harden will be through the roof. It's very simple math.
They're Stradamus.
And so, you know, that's the second time in 2 days I've been called that. So on the pod yesterday, I said, watch, tomorrow Bertans is going to be 5K. And where is Bertans today?
I believe 5K?
On the dot.
Wow.
And so in the Slack chat last night, Luce was like, he quoted me on that. He signed, Bear Stradamus. That's the
maybe
second.
Maybe there's something to it.
I like it.
For your articles, we're gonna have to get. I know you have the bear head, so we'll get like a gypsy hat with some like big hoop earrings, and you get a crystal ball.
Nice.
By the way, I got to give a shout-out to Ram8727. Made the graphics for the Wall Street Wingman article, so he got that done pretty quickly. Shout-out to him, and I guess if you want any graphics work done, definitely hit him up. Yep. He didn't charge me because, you know, I'm one of the staff here at the DFS Army, but he might charge you. I would. Hell, I could be his agent of charging. I asked him at first. I was like, how much are you going to charge this? He's like, oh, nothing. I was like, what? All right. Well, and then I told him, if you need a favor in the future, I got you.
Yeah, you never know when you need a favor.
Yeah, you never know, man. You never know.
So back to Harden. So I'm going to pass.
Okay.
And I would say probably in a high 90th percentile of nights when Harden's on the slate, I play him. But this is going to have to be one of those where I'm not. That's how concerned I am about Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
And again, if my theory serves me correct, it's the reason why this game is going to be that close is because they're going to try to take Harden out of the game and let the rest of the team beat him, which is why I love Chris Paul so much.
Okay. I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Chris Paul, but remember, Chris Paul plays – he gets a good chunk of minutes in his second rotation with the second unit, so he'll probably avoid Butler in that setting. So just keep that in mind too.
Sure.
I have another Rocket that I want to talk about, but we can when we get to the deep GPP section, we can talk about him.
Okay.
All right.
Other shooting guards that I love, and I may be in love with two of them. The first one being my Compton homie, DeMar DeRozan.
What up?
So, you know, if there's somewhere to attack Miami, it's there. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to see who the starting lineup looks like, but I see, you know, probably some Tyler Johnson on him, which, you know, not the
maybe
worst.
Maybe Richardson at times.
Might be a little bit Richardson, who's not a bad defender at all.
Nope.
But I think a lot of this game falls on DeRozan's shoulders to score. I think he might be my top shooting guard.
All right, so I'm looking at DeRozan here. Now, I do remember, because my mind works in scary, mysterious ways, but maybe it doesn't work. I was thinking, the last time he faced Miami, no, what was the night that he was massive chalk? Remember? Well, there were a couple nights when Lowry went down with the injury.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know, but I was looking back at the Miami game. He put up 37.8. I believe that was without Lowry, but... Yeah, I mean, I don't mind DeMar DeRozan. He hasn't hit 50 in a while, which kind of scares me. But he's a good cash game guy.
He's a cash game guy. He's also down to 8,200. So,
You know what, man? Toronto's been kicking so much ass lately. I see why he hasn't. They've been kicking so much ass in their games. He's barely exactly had to play 30 minutes in, what, the last five games?
So you hit on it, right? That's exactly what it is. And that's why I like his play so much, because people are going to look and say exactly what you just said. Oh, he's barely even playing 30 minutes. Yep. Yeah, this game is scheduled to, or scheduled, projected to be close. They've been beating the crap out of teams. I don't see them beating the crap out of the Heat, because the Heat's actually a pretty good team, a pretty good team. So I think they need more DeRozan. That's why I like the play.
Okay, I dig it. Hey, folks, like we always say, right, we're not giving you, the Bear Stradamus, the Wall Stradamus, all that stuff. Like, we're talking about these plays here on the air. We do it all the time, so... Yeah. You know, hey, if we don't bring the info to the table, God damn it, it's gonna pop up during the podcast. So,
indeed,
how you like that? How you like Andrew Wiggins against the Rockets tonight?
A ton, yeah. I mean, a lot of people are gonna Wiggins again, because you know he's screwed us a lot, but at the same time, I mean, he's probably gonna get James Harden on him, which is where we love to attack.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not mad at it. I think it's a great play. What is it cost here? 6K?
62 on FanDuel.
6,200 at the highest over under on the slate, the 222.5. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, 62 on both sides. And, you know, it's great. Harden has gotten a lot better as a defender this year, but keep in mind, you know, it couldn't have gotten much worse. So, I'm impressed with it. It actually is a negative ADVP matchup according to the chart. But, again, I think this whole game is just filled with goodness tonight, especially when we get to the center position. So
we got
to
be careful, because Middleton he's actually the small forward. Mm-hmm. So they've got Bledsoe, Snell, Middleton, Giannis, and then they're probably going to have Thon Maker at the five. And so the one issue that stands out is that's – let me take a look here. Let's see who's going to – that's going to put Torian Prince on him. I mean, not the greatest, but I still think – because if you're going to look at a shooting guard, it's a mistake. He's not a shooting guard. He's a small forward. On FanDuel, he's a shooting guard, but he plays small forward. And Giannis plays the four. So just keep that in mind.
All right. Wesley Matthews is back for the Mavs tonight against the Kings. I like that matchup a lot.
That's a great matchup, but he's at 5,700 now.
My goodness.
I mean, that's kind of his ceiling where he's priced. So, here's my favorite shooting guard play on the premise that Jamal Murray sits. For me, Will Barton's going to be my lock.
Okay.
If Jamal sits, he gets. First of all, he's playing at home, and I don't have the home road splits, but man, is he like playing at home? All the Nuggets like playing at home; they're like unbeatable there.
All right, I'm gonna look into this.
Okay, and a lot of it is obviously the you know, elevation and playing in the Mile High, and the Spurs being on a back to back. He's gonna have the ball in his hands a ton. We talked about some of the usage earlier. Without Jamal Murray and some of the other guys. So, I mean, Barton's going to – he's almost like that cheat code, where he's going to play point guard, but he's shooting guard.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see here. Slightly better at home here. Not like a major – I don't know. Maybe things have happened. I got to check out the game log to find this. But as a total this season, he is slightly better at home.
Yeah, well, and I also want you to look at the team's record, too. It's like night and day. But, yeah, so Barton, and then you're going to have a lot of the onus on defense is going to fall on Gary Harris. So, you know, you don't necessarily want to target a defensive guy, although he can do so much more. I wouldn't be opposed to playing Gary Harris. I would probably play him over Wesley Matthews, even though Matthews is a better matchup, but I just like Gary Harris a lot.
All right. Looking at the rest of the position here, I you know what's crazy is I actually like the the bottom of the barrel at the position today. I think there's some really good sneaky plays there.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Now, before we get there, do you have any, like, more sustainable, solid guys?
Yeah, so I think I can definitely get behind Eric Gordon.
He was going to be in my deep range, but all
right. Oh, he's not that deep. He's 4,700, right? I've got a deep one in the 3K range that I love. But
all right. It just seems like we're going off the deep end here, so let's get it.
Yeah, so Eric Gordon, I think, you know, we have him projected at 27 minutes, again, in the highest over-under of the night against a team that doesn't play defense. Outside of Jimmy Butler, I don't think they're going to put Jimmy Butler on Gordon, so I definitely can get behind Eric Gordon.
Here was my favorite part about Gordon. So if he's going to be in that second unit, probably going to be matched up with Jamal Crawford for about, I don't know, 15, maybe 20 minutes if we're lucky.
Sign me up.
Jamal Crawford, dead last in defensive real plus minus this season.
Sign me up.
And has always been near that dead last thing. So, yeah, I really like that one a lot. Again, too, if we're talking about Minnesota being more successful based on the line that we saw today with them at minus two, you know, maybe that's more points for the Rockets bench. Who knows? It's game theory. It's something to think about. So, yeah I really like Gordon today. This is what I was talking about when I liked a lot of these bottom barrel guys more than the other guys. All right, speaking of good matchups here, OKC, Cleveland game. I like J.R. Smith, Rodney Hood, both for the price in this one. I want to see if we get Alex Abrines starting in this game. JR could have a really good matchup against him if he's going to be in there. And again, with Rodney Hood, he does have a high usage. Most obviously, pretty much all those numbers coming from Utah, but good usage rate on him, good price at $5,000 on FanDuel. I don't mind that one at all.
So, I don't. Okay. I don't like it. And I'll tell you why. Because at 5K, you want to do better than 22 minutes. Like I would 100% play Gordon over Hood.
And he's I like Gordon over Hood, yes, but
and he's 300 cheaper, you know. So that's how I'm looking at it. Did you bring up Clarkson?
I did not yet.
Oh, okay. So you know, same backcourt. Excuse me. Against the Thunder. I don't know why, but he's only projected to play 18 minutes. And he's 5,900. And yeah, we know we've seen with the Lakers what he can do in 19 minutes because he put up a lot of numbers. But at that price, I got to see more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about the JR one? You don't like that one?
JR Smith?
Yeah.
Tournaments, maybe.
He looks rejuvenated.
He does look rejuvenated, but you know, he could have reached that Hennessy bottle real quick. And so, you know, I don't know what he did last night. So I don't feel enough stability from him, you know, to roster him. If I'm going, I mean, there's a guy that I like lower than him.
Okay.
Actually love. He might be my GPP every lineup play.
And his name is?
Wayne the Duke Ellington.
I got him on my list, Bear. Nice.
Yeah. So, again, back to the game theory we talked about with the Heat in Toronto. The Raptors are going to go small to try to pick up the pace and ultimately try to force the Heat to take Whiteside off the court, which we've seen work before, right, against certain teams.
Sure.
And so they counter that by going with Ellington. He's going to get – you know, he might even have DeMar DeRozan on him. He may have some Wright or Van Vliet on him. Who knows? That matchup is really a coin flip. You really don't know who's going to be on him. But 28 minutes at $3,700 for a guy that can get really hot. Have you seen when Ellington shoot off a screen?
He's a former Net. I've seen it, yes.
I mean, the guy doesn't even look at the basket. It's insane. And if he gets it going in that kind of game at 3,700, he's playing over 25 minutes. I love this top play.
Yeah, my whole thing was the minutes that Wayne Ellington gets for that price. It's kind of ridiculous. So yeah. Definitely a spot that I would not mind attacking at all. And again, if he's going to be playing second unit minutes, maybe that's a little more time against DeLon Wright. You know, Fred VanVleet. Again, guys that are capable, but nobody that I'm worried about. But again, just guys in that matchup. That's good. One deep, 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 deep tourney play I was looking at. Jamal Crawford. Again, that matchup is going to be against Eric Gordon.
Yep.
Favoritism, Jamal Crawford. Again, not recommending this in all formats. It's not like a Wayne Ellington type of play, but again, multi-entry, I wouldn't mind taking a shot on Jamal Crawford.
So if we're going deep.
All right. We're going deep.
Let's deep on the cover. So remember what I mentioned about how to foresee Pop's rotations.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So let's take a look, if we can, at last night.
All right.
I'm going to bring this up. Boom. And then last night, remember, Spurs are on a back-to-back going into Denver. Never pretty for any team. Box score. Okay. So last night, from a guard perspective, Dejounte played 29 minutes. Danny Green played 30 minutes. Patty Mills played 22 minutes. Manu Ginobili played 22 minutes. Guess who only played 9 minutes?
Oh, my God. What name? Paul? Forbes?
Brent Forbes played 9 minutes. Oh. Guess who didn't play at all?
Paul.
Man. At all.
What the hell's his name?
Bryn Paul.
Bryn, okay. No, Bryn Forbes. Brandon Paul.
Sorry, Brandon Paul. Yeah. Bryn Forbes and Brandon Paul.
Know your Spurs.
Yeah.
On the Daily Dispatch. Okay.
Who barely play. But, again, this has been his mantra, was back-to-back, I don't play these guys with the thought of I'm going to play them more tomorrow. I can see Bryn Forbes in the starting lineup today.
Interesting. I really like Bryn Forbes' offensive game. I think he's pretty smooth with the ball. Just does absolutely nothing in every other aspect of the game. Take a look at Sacramento. He had 23 real points. I mean, just looking at his game, like, you could tell he doesn't do much. He caught my eye. There was a game. They were playing at the Lakers on TNT, and he had a really good stint of offensive minutes. But again, he just doesn't. Yeah, he scored 18 real points the game that I'm talking about. That was the one that caught my eye. He played 37 minutes that night. That's when, like, everybody was out for the Spurs. But, yeah, if he gets some minutes tonight, I think he's very interesting.
Absolutely. And in that game, as a Lakers fan, I know, I watched it. He couldn't miss from three. I mean, he kept on hitting all of his threes. And you're looking at a pace-up game versus Denver, and he's very well rested. I mean, and you can even go super deep with Brandon Paul. I don't know. We'll have to see who sits. If Danny Green sits on a back-to-back and Ginobili, then Ginobili should sit. He doesn't do back-to-backs. I think they made that clear. So I expect Ginobili to sit. Mm-hmm. Then, I mean, you can look at both of those guys. Not in the same roster, but they're both minimum price. You might as well go with Bryn Forbes, who we know when guys play, Pop plays him more. He likes him on defense. That's why.
Yeah. Jeez, I can't believe – I was like, no way these guys have anything but a min price on DraftKings. Well, Forbes – 3,600 over there. And then Paul, you got him. He's at 3,200. But, yeah, I think Forbes is the guy if he gets the minutes.
Value.
I like that a lot. All right. All right, we have to beat. Since we went that deep down at shooting guard, there are possibly no other names to talk about. So let's go to small forward, where the position is absolutely stacked tonight.
It is.
I'm just going to name four names. You got to pick one. Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Jimmy Butler, Paul George. You got?
That's fair.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is going to depend on the status of Russ and Melo. If either one of those two guys sit, I like Paul George.
I love Paul George if that happens.
I'm saying one of the two. If both of them sit,
right.
Lock him in and move on. And if Russ Westbrook sit, locks him up and move on. Because Melo is not going to be as, you know, ball dominant as Russ. And so, you know.
I hope not.
Well, I mean, I don't think he has it in him anymore. I mean, if you give him the ball, it's a black hole. But
Being in the New York market, I've seen plenty of Knicks games with that idiot just standing there with the basketball between his legs like 15 seconds. Nothing drives me crazier.
It's unreal. It's unreal. It's unreal. So that's a very intriguing, matchup that we have to wait on some news for. But I looked up, and I'd like for you to mention this if you can, Giannis Antetokounmpo, his game log versus the Hawks.
All right, let's get it up. Let's get it up. And see, luckily for me, I could spell Antetokounmpo without looking.
I can barely pronounce it without
looking. Who's the real hero of the day? Let's be real, folks. All right, so Antetokounmpo looking pretty good here against the Hawks. All right, let's say this. In 4 of his last 5 games against the Hawks, he's tiptoeing that 60-point mark. He actually got, at the final meeting last season, he went for 69.3 on DraftKings, 71.1 on FanDuel. But in 4 of the 5 in that stretch right there, he's hovering around that 60-point mark.
Yeah, I mean, did that answer the question?
And I didn't even see this. The game that he didn't hover the 60-point mark, he only played 23 and a half minutes in that game.
Any idea what the final score of that game was?
Not on hand.
Yeah, it wasn't close. So, so having said that, there is a concern that, well, what if the game's not even close again? It looks like it's a 7.5-point spread. So, not the end of the world. Giannis is the guy.
By the way, we have to be men and admit when we were wrong, but Donuts won the Fade Warriors argument yesterday. Congratulations. That was a big victory. Really put it all out on the table there and ended up getting it right.
Yeah.
Man, I was pissed about that. It looked pretty good for about 90% of the first half, and then, boy, it got ugly before halftime, and then it just continued afterwards. What are you gonna do?
Well, I think one of the things that I said was the Warriors might be up by 100 after 2 quarters, right? But we agreed that to be up by 100, you got to score a bunch of points.
If they did 100 points for the first, then you really would have been Bear Stradamus.
Yeah, right. So yeah, so out of those guys, I definitely like Giannis. I think the second will be dependent on Melo Anthony news for Paul George. I don't dislike LeBron. I think LeBron is definitely rejuvenated, but I think if I'm going to pay up, it's for Giannis.
All right. I mean, we just brought up the numbers. How could you not like that?
Yeah, it's going to be tough not to. Some other ones to look at. I really like Harrison Barnes, particularly after his letdown last game.
He owes us one.
But it's a classic go back to the well kind of thing. You're going to have a lot of bias against him because of his last game. So you might be able to get him at pretty low ownership. I don't think you can get, Paul George and Giannis. You might be able to. But if you're not able to go up for those two studs and you have to go with one of them, I think your second guy can easily be Harrison Barnes and you'll be in good shape for Sacramento.
I dig it. If he definitely owes us one. I would have broken the internet on Sunday if he did well. One guy that might be pretty interesting. Let's talk about LeBron real quick because he does not have a good history against Paul George at all. Just in these games, going up against him. This dates all the way back to the Indiana days. So I'm pretty much off Paul George. Or I'm sorry, I'm pretty much off LeBron James with that matchup. So with that being said, here's an interesting one, and it kind of depends on some Toronto injury news.
Yep.
But the Raptors might be without OG Anunoby tonight.
Yep.
Most of the time we say, you can't play Josh Richardson when Whiteside's in there. I don't know. I like the way the guy's playing ball right now. I think it's an interesting move. It's not a place where you have to go, but I would certainly watch that injury news because it could be an interesting spot to attack.
Yeah, I mean, if he sits, that changes everything defensively, right? So that, and maybe that's why the game is so close projected, because they assumed he'd be out and there'd be a little bit less defense. But on the flip side of that matchup, if he sits, I like DeMar even more. because then his usage goes up a little bit more as well, and then it'll be a faster-paced game with less defense. I mean, yeah, that's I'm not against that at all.
So let's talk about the Toronto. So if OG is going to be out, right, that probably puts minutes for, what, Miles, Powell, you think?
So if OG sits, let's talk about usage first. So from a usage perspective, if OG sits, DeMar DeRozan goes from 30% usage, which is James Harden territory, up to 31.4. And then Kyle Lowry from 22.5 to 24.2. See, the next Norman Powell actually drops the full percentage. Anything else look interesting here? Yeah, nothing else really stands out because OG is not really a usage guy, right? But in terms of minutes, let me take a look here. Nobi. Refresh.
Loading end, loading end. Smoking the reefer.
So, let me see. Oh, small
focus. See what I did there? I combined two Super Trooper scenes into one. How you like that? How you like that, folks? Entertainment, always on the pod.
So, if OG sits, CJ Miles, it looks like he still won't play 20 minutes. Looks like the guy to go with would be Norman Powell.
Ooh.
He's cheap. He's minimum. He's going to see 20 minutes. I still like playing Bryn Forbes over him, though, personally. Oh. But
yeah, God, you got a feel for Powell, man. What he's a damn good player, but just got completely nixed out of the rotation.
You know, it really stinks, man, because they just signed him to that contract extension because he's like you said, he's a good player. He was excited to go and play for a contender and can barely get any minutes now.
Yep. It
sucks.
Tis the life of an NBA player. All right. Who else are we looking at here at small forward? Are we dumpster diving anywhere?
Yeah. So here's a guy that I want to play, and everybody's going to talk about him. Seti Osman. He's now... At minimum price, I didn't mind it, but he's over 4K now, and it's kind of his ceiling. And, you know, I get he's going to play 27 minutes as a starter and all, but I'm not thrilled with his upside, so I'm not too thrilled with the play.
The one thing I will say for CeeDee Osman is that he'll probably have the easiest matchup. Shooting guard and power forward seem to be spots where you can attack OKC. I know, like, LeBron's, probably that power forward now, but there's, like, of course, Paul George is going to be on him tonight. There's no doubt about it. So that should leave CD with Melo or, you know, whoever else OKC has left to put there. So that's the one positive I could say about him, but I don't like that guy at all. I think he's a klutz. He had a good game against Atlanta. Tell your story walking, CD.
For an NBA player, he's a little clumsy. I agree.
Indeed.
I do like Torian Prince, and I know you know, a lot of us, he's been bad lately. He really has. He's been bad, but he's at 4K now, and in a close matchup where I think you know, a lot of the focus will not be on him. It'll defensively will be on Bazemore and Schroeder. So I think he might get some more opportunities. So I don't hate it. You know, I know it's not the best matchup for him, but I don't, at 4K, I don't hate it. Some minutes up scenarios to talk about. With Ariza still out, I'm looking at PJ Tucker, almost 30 minutes, and he's 3,700. So if you need to go down, that's where you can look. And Tucker hasn't been doing much in the realm of offense, but he's going against Minnesota. So, you know, he's not going to see Jimmy Butler, so...
Right.
Might be somewhere to look at.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that matchup and, like, what the Rockets would do. It seems like, I don't know, like where do you put Tucker in this game, you know? Like, I guess he could be a guy to defend Wiggins. I feel like maybe Anderson and Luke Mabamute, my best friend, would be better suited for, like, Taj Gibson or something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure where Tucker fits into any of these matchups, but I think, like, Mabamute I can probably make a better case for.
Yeah, I don't mind that play either.
All right. I don't know. That situation, that is a weird situation with, you know, the reserves in this game. But, yeah, there's some interesting ones. I wrote Justin Jackson's name down because I figured why not? Because it's a Daily Dispatch episode where the Sacramento Kings are on. So again, I mean, guy's just, he's going to continue to start playing minutes in the mid 20s. I mean, it's a decent salary saver. I don't think he's going to kill anybody's lineups.
I actually agree. I think he's a decent floor for 3,700. You know, I don't see him matching up well with Harrison Barnes, but we'll have to see what the lineups look like.
Indeed. All right, since we got to that point, we good on smalls?
Yes.
All right, let's get powerful at the forward position. It's a wasteland. It's not anything to be gawking over here. But I got to say, Zach Randolph looks like the far and away, like all formats play at the position. His 29.5% usage rate, by far the highest of any power forward on the slate. Do you share my sentiments?
Love it.
Okay.
Love it. but I may love another play even more.
Uh-oh. Do tell.
I may love Dwight Powell. I may.
Okay, everybody is. Everybody is.
I may. So I'm not in love with the 6,700.
By the way, DraftKings at 5,500, if I'm not mistaken.
Dwight?
It's a huge, huge difference between the two.
So on DraftKings, just play Dwight Powell and shut up.
Yeah, 5,500. That is correct. Power forward center eligibility.
67, I might not be as in love with it as I was to open the discussion. But, I mean, you know, he's going to have Zach Randolph on him, and most of the times where there's a defensive rebound, he's just going to outrun him. So, I mean, yeah, we've got Zebo at 28 minutes. So he's going to see a lot of Dwight Powell and vice versa. So, I something to think about. If Jamal, and we talked about this to open the pod, right?
But we did.
If Jamal sits, I'm locking in Trey Lyles. I don't care. I'm just going to play him and move on. Playing at home. He's going to have more minutes open up for him. Not too many more from what we're projecting, but I actually think he will play some more. Not based on just the projections, but based on the game theory itself. I think the Spurs don't do well today in terms of the outcome of the game.
Really going out on a limb with that prediction there, bro.
Right? Hey, it's Tuesday. Why not? And so I think, you know, I think Trey's a great – he's one of my favorite plays. So
I want you to – all right. I was going to do something fancy. I'm not going to. Just take a guess. Who is the newest addition to the power forward list on FanDuel today?
Bam, bam.
Bam.
Yeah.
Bam. I saw that. I said, whoa, doggy. But
I was actually happy.
Bam's playing the good game, bad game with us right now. You know, he likes to take a game off, and then he likes to go bananas, take a game off, go bananas, take a game off, go bananas. He is slated for the bad game tonight, though, if he does keep playing this game. But very appealing price. Very shocked. I wonder if people will even know that he's there.
Well, yeah, because he's not at the bottom. I'll probably see him. But
Good point.
Yeah, but I don't mind the matchup. Let me see, what is Miami? Yeah, it's pretty red right now, but I mean, he'll probably start off the game matched up with Serge. Not something you typically want to attack. I don't know. I think it's just okay.
How about his teammate, James? I know he's struggling lately, but you know, no Kelly Olynyk. The minutes right. Could be there.
Yeah, how come I don't see him? Oh, here is James Johnson. So
he's all the way
now. I don't know. I don't like what I see. He hasn't been the same for the last, I don't know, five games or so. You used to be able to count on Johnson to come in and put up at least 25 fantasy points. He hasn't been doing that. So he's came down a lot at 4,300. But he kind of seems like he's just checked out until All-Star. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. It's going to be tough.
The thought of rostering him is frightening as all hell. But, you know, he's an interesting topic of discussion.
I like Taj a lot. Houston gets killed with a power forward spot. It's not their strong suit, right? They know what they do well. And power forward's not one of them. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be against Bamute. It might be not as intriguing. We got to see who the starters are. But, Taj is more of a bang bodies down low kind of guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's got a nice mid-range game, too. But if he knows that Bamute's on him, he's going to get into the key, into the paint, which is where he belongs. So he makes for an intriguing play. Really good cash game player at 5,400.
All right. Anybody else there?
Oh, yeah. So tournaments. There's three guys that I love. First one, and two of them are on the same team. The first one is John Collins.
Oh, yes. I'm a huge Collins fan today.
Particularly, as we know, Milwaukee cannot rebound the ball. They don't have enough bigs. I like to attack that. And he's going to be with the second unit. So they're even worse on their second unit. Because I believe Henson is still out, correct?
Yes, he is out.
Yeah, so they're even thinner down there. So I'm not thrilled with what we're seeing, his minutes being projected, but I like to play a lot. Not touching Bertans at 5K.
I'm not either. I wasn't saying you're wrong in doing that.
No, I think we agree there. So my other two interesting plays, I've got more than two, but the ones that stand out, I'm looking at Larry Nance.
Okay.
And Larry Nance is the kind of guy that needs to play to match up versus Jerian Grant, assuming that Melo doesn't play, of course. I think he sees probably in the mid-20s in terms of minutes, you know, 23 to 28, somewhere around there. At 4,600, he can get rebounds and shots and block shots and steals and dunks and jump through the roof. I like it as a tournament play at 4,600.
Speaking of his teammate, I was very, very upset that mi amigo Jeff Green only got 16 minutes in that last game. I knew that, you know, it was a possibility. Take C.D. Osman off the damn court. Let's go. Get Green in the game. Pissing me off, Ty Lue. Pissing me off.
I just got some very surprising notification news here. So Manu Ginobili, probable Tuesday.
Oh, gosh.
I think it's your typical pop troll move.
Okay.
He's not playing.
Okay.
Dejounte Murray, probable Tuesday.
And now, are we Dejounte? Isn't it Dejounte?
I don't know. Whatever, D. Murray.
We're gonna get clarification.
The funny thing, so for Murray, it says, you know how after the player's name, they put in parentheses what it is that's ailing him.
Correct. I'm looking at it right now.
So Murray, ankle, probable Tuesday. Manu Ginobili, rest, probable Tuesday. He's got a rest problem apparently.
Yeah.
One got an ankle problem.
He's old AF, man. Old AF.
He is, and you know, the best thing about it is he represents for us bald guys.
Well, I'm not there yet, but I will be soon.
I said us, meaning me.
Well, I got a spot on the top of my dome, but, you know, it's not the whole thing, so.
Yeah, I love it. That spot is great. So my last, second to last tournament play at the power forward is Ersan Ilyasova.
Okay.
Again, attack bigs versus Milwaukee. And he's not your traditional big, but he can shoot the three ball. He's got a mid-range game. He's got a post-up game. He can rebound in a game that looks to be pretty close. I like Ilyasova in tournaments a lot.
Don't forget Ilyasova, also a former member of the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's a big deal.
And I have one more guy, and you got to take a look at Ryan Anderson's numbers against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, my goodness. This is even home games, he destroyed them. But remember, Ryan Anderson off the red planet, That is when you got to play this guy. He's only 3,700 on FanDuel. And I'm just going to start rattling off some scores here. Now, I'm just going to put it in the area of both sites. So, okay. We'll say dating back to February 8th of 2016. 35, 57, 45, 37, 25, 30, 20. Yeah, those are Ryan Anderson's scores against the Timberwolves. Tip, drop $5 on your table. Tip me. Get at me later, folks. $3,700 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Probably cheap as hell on DraftKings as well.
So he's $3,600 on FanDuel.
$3,600, even better. $4,400 on DraftKings.
Well, that to me, what you just said there, shows why you got to play him. Because DraftKings knows how to price players.
I thought FanDuel's been doing a fantastic job this year.
They've been getting better. But
by fantastic, I mean making it hard as hell.
I mean, yeah, somewhat, right? But, I mean, I really like the Anderson play for tournaments, particularly versus Minnesota in, like we've been saying all pod, highest OU on the slate in a 2.5-point game. Only thing I don't like, and it's not that big of a deal because he's at 3,600, is the 25 minutes. Because he's been taken out of the starting lineup in favor of Mute and Tucker. Mm-hmm. And I think this suits him better with the second unit because he'll actually get the ball. I mean, you got Harden and Chris Paul. Who's touching the ball? It's just those two. But with the second unit, it's one of those two. And unfortunately, he'll have to spend... He'll have to share some usage with Eric Gordon, but I still think versus Minnesota, he's probably going to match up with some Gordy Jang, who's more of a defend the post kind of player.
Yeah, what's funny too is if you just look at his last three games for Minnesota, last three games at Minnesota, the numbers are just fantastic. But another thing, too, with a lot of these fantastic performances, he was playing well over 30 minutes. So I don't know if we're going to get that massive upside, but I certainly think like 25 points or something like that is doable. And at 3,600, I mean, come on, what are we even waiting for?
Right.
All right, let's get to the centers. We're over an hour here on the pod, so let's try to go through it quickly. And we might just have your decision decided for you real quick. When you hear what Carl Anthony Towns has done against the Houston Rockets, just straight damage. Do you got the numbers on hand?
Yeah.
Because I've actually got a picture of it.
Yeah, we have the same picture.
And I forgot to load it.
Oh.
Like a douche.
All right. There we go. So, that's Giannis.
I got it.
Okay.
All right, so last five against – I'm going to preface this by saying this. In six of the last seven games, he's got at least 54 fantasy points on each site against the Rockets.
It's been
that's amazing, all right? But the last – I don't know. I'll just read off the last five. Again, we'll put it in the same range of both sites. But 64, 62, 71, 59, 66 – I mean, that's Carl Anthony Towns against the Rockets right there.
Yeah, he's hands down my top play of the night for the centers.
Yeah, my description for Towns on the article today is I'm just gonna leave this here, and then it's gonna be the game log against the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a no brainer. I think a lot of people will see that. And we'll see, again, the score, the over-under, and how it's a close game. And they'll see the monstrous game Cat just had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a beast that game.
Beast.
I think I might like Jokic a little more in tournaments.
Oh, sneaky. And this is something I've noticed. I got to really dig into the stats for this, but Jokic really goes to town on these back end of back to back teams.
He really does, man.
He must know like how tired they are, and he's like, all right, you're getting the A+ game today.
And I think the Spurs are going to have, because right now Pau Gasol is questionable because they just played, and you know, back to backs is not. And he played. We brought up those minutes, right? He played a ton of minutes last night. What did he play? 33 minutes last night, second highest on the team next to Kyle Anderson.
Mm.
If he doesn't play, who's going to guard him? Which, by the way, I'll talk about that that play there in a minute.
Joffrey Laverne?
Yeah, man.
What's he going to poison Jokic, huh?
He's going to hit him with all of his tattoos. But so, yeah, so I think Cat is going to be absolute chalk, rightfully so. He should have a dominant game. But I really like pivoting to Jokic, who can, without Jamal Murray, will even do some of the point guard duties. That's the kind of talent that Jokic is.
Yeah.
He rebounds the ball. He's a 7-footer. He rebounds the ball and runs the fast break. I mean, yeah, that's my guy right there.
Now, these are some fantastic options here at the top of the food chain, but there are some very good options down below here as well. Gotta begin with the one who just got inserted into the starting lineup, the one, the only, Dwayne Dedman, taking on a Milwaukee team that they're allergic to rebounding. They get shit on down low by pretty much everybody. So, yeah, I don't mind Dedman here. He's not cheap, though, right? 5,800 there on FanDuel. On the King of Drafts, he is 5,300. So I would say, and again, too, where you can fit multiple centers in your lineup, Dedman kind of seems like a much better play over there on DK and, you know, and possibly get some double-double points in there as well.
Sure. I love the play. I love the play. So, as we know, right, Milwaukee is a team we target bigs. So it's just the known thing around here.
Death taxes, bigs against Milwaukee.
Exactly. Just like bigs against Brooklyn, right? Same idea.
Hey, hey.
But Dedman, like you said, he just got inserted into the starting lineup. And inserted into the starting lineup. That was a tongue twister. But here's the thing about that. He's been playing most of the minutes anyways. Mm-hmm. They've started Plumlee. I don't understand why, because he's not a very good basketball player. But they've been starting him and giving him like 12 minutes. This is a game where I think, and here's the thing about Dedman that he does now that he didn't do in past years. He shoots the three ball pretty well.
Ooh.
And so if he's going to have to pull the center out onto the 3-point line, I mean, at 5,800, no brainer. I love a no brainer for small walkie.
And don't forget, Milwaukee already a bad rebounding team. John Henson not there. You got to go to Thon Maker, Tyler Zeller, guys like that. I mean, Dedman can really, really put a hurting on him. You know what's hysterical? Speaking of Dedman's teammate, I was like, oh, because I saw Mike Muscala's name. I haven't even realized he's been back from injury. Like, he's just been quietly doing stuff at min price, getting like 15 fantasy points. Muscala, you know, former friend of mine in the DFS game.
If I'm going to play somebody at 35, it's going to be Joffrey Laverne.
Oh, I wasn't saying playing Muscala. I'm just saying. I thought he was dead. I didn't realize he'd been playing like the last 20 games.
Well, didn't he have an injury recently where he missed a handful of games?
Yeah, I believe he missed the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he's kind of working his way back.
It's Atlanta Hawks basketball. Like, who really knows what's going on there? Like, yeah, they don't even know in Atlanta.
You got a point.
Speaking of teams that suck at rebounding, the Mavs are on the slate tonight, and Willie Cauley-Stein, very interesting option in this one. Obviously, you got all those big names at the top, Dedman, a guy that people really like, and then you got Willie Cauley-Stein kind of priced somewhere in the middle of those two ranges. Any interest here against the Mavs?
A ton. I mean, there are so many great center options here. It's really tough. I mean, so just like we said, attack Milwaukee, attack Brooklyn down low. The same goes for Dallas. I think, is Dallas still the worst rebounding team?
I believe they are.
Yeah. So, and Willie Cauley-Stein is pretty good at rebounds and playing down low. And the only guy that can somewhat come in with is Salah Mejri. And number one, he's Salah Mejri. Number two, he's questionable.
He's questionable.
He was supposed to play last game, and then I think he hurt his neck during warm-ups.
He's a questionable NBA player in general.
He's very, very fringe. I agree. He's very fringe. He's probably more of a G League kind of guy. No offense, Sala, but you suck, bro. So,
nah.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic plays. 7,400 on FanDuel. 30 minutes a game. I mean... against a team that has nobody to body him. And I think I mentioned one of the recent pods, I saw an interview with Willie, And he took it upon himself to be more aggressive and assertive on the offensive end moving forward. Mm. You factor in all those things. I still want to play Jokic, but, I mean, you know, it's a great play.
Yep. All right, one more spot. Whiteside, interesting for GPPs. He does have a favorable ADDP matchup here against Toronto. But the one that Thon Maker Tyler Zeller thing was kind of interesting. Again, Henson's going to be out, so these guys will get some minutes. Zeller played, I believe, 22 minutes last game. I'm familiar with what he did in Brooklyn. I think he's a guy that can chip away and get some nice points. But certainly, I believe Maker would be the preferred option if you were going to go that route.
Yeah, Maker's going to get the minutes there. He's 3,700. Tremendous value, for sure.
Right.
But in terms of pure raw points, you got to go up higher.
Yes.
So why do I bring up Joffrey Laverne? Number one... He goes by King Joffrey. I mean, you gotta love a guy that goes by King Joffrey.
Are you a huge Game of Thrones fan or a fraudulent one like myself?
I'm gonna take so much shit for this. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Okay, all right. You know what? I watch it because I already started, but I checked out in season 4, and then I came back recently and watched all the reruns and whatnot. But I don't know, man. You know what's funny? Like, people talk about like in movies all the time, they'd be like, man, that's not realistic for him to jump a bridge. They have dragons, and people still watch it.
The reactions I get when my wife and I say we don't watch Game of Thrones is like...
I applaud you.
It's crazy. People look at me with their like jaw wide open, like gaping looks. I'm like, so what? I don't watch a...
What's your problem with dragons?
Not just dragons. It's a lot of blood and gore. What if you don't like it? I mean,
oh, you're not a fan of the blood, decapitation and whatnot.
It's not for everyone.
I'm not a fan. I just usually just, you know, look away or do the sun visor kind of thing over my face.
Yeah. So the reason why I like King Joffrey, we're probably, even if Powell does play, he's not going to play over 30 minutes. His minutes will probably be in the low 20s, because it's about, and that's if he plays. If he doesn't play, at minimum price, as much as we love Kat and Jokic and Willie and Deadman and all these other players, at minimum price, I can go up and jam Paul George and Giannis if I want, and Chris Paul if I want to, and find another few more mid-range plays like Ilyasova, whoever else, and that's my tournament.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't Laverne a former Nugget?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna look this up right this second. He is a former Nugget. He got his first 2 years in the NBA were with the Nuggets.
Did they draft him?
That's a good question.
So while you're looking that up, here's another insane stat about Joffrey Laverne.
All right.
His usage is the highest out of all centers on the slate.
Really?
27.6 compared to Nikola Jokic, 26.1. And Jokic runs the ball a lot.
Interesting. The answer to your draft question is he was drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. You get drafted in the second round, you're definitely not sticking with that team. Right. Like, those picks get swapped, like, all the time.
On draft night, even, they get swapped.
Oh, my God. It's bananas. You know what's weird? All right, so I've been going to the NBA draft for a lot of years now, and they, like, when there's a trade, they don't announce it in the arena. Like, you got to know on, like, on Twitter or whatever. So, like, let's say, remember the year, like, the Warriors and the Magic traded for Shaq and Chris Webber.
Mm-hmm.
They would, like, you would get the... So, all right, so Shaq wound up on the Magic. They would say the Golden State Warriors draft Shaquille O'Neal. Like, it's really messed up what they do. I don't know why they just won't do that.
Well, they do it now, though, right? They mentioned that they...
No, they don't. They don't mention one word about trades. Wow. Like, they don't come to the podium and say, Golden State has traded the blah, blah, blah pick to Orlando for blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
They need to make the people more. I guess they figure everybody got Twitter and they know what's going on. So I'm trying to save my cell phone battery, though.
Yeah. I don't like Tristan Thompson going up against Steven Adams.
No.
Don't like it at all.
No.
One more sneaky play.
Okay. We can close it out with this one.
Yeah, I probably will go Joffrey over him, but Costa Kufis again.
Costa.
Target bigs versus Dallas, and you know, with the healthy team, he might not play as much because they have Zeebo and they have Willie. But now, because when Willie was gone, he was playing a lot more. But they're still missing Scala BCA, so he does play some backup power forward minutes versus Dallas. That could be intriguing.
Absolutely. I actually took a look at him last night. Kufis actually just had a really big game last time out. Played 23 minutes at Minnesota, wound up with 12 points, 10 rebounds, had a steal as well. You know, he's a solid producer, even mm-hmm. when he gets a little bit of minutes. So I sure like that play a lot. He will certainly be added to the list with your trademark on it.
Awesome.
All right, you know what else will be added, Bear? This podcast to the site, because we are done. If you would like to join the DFSArmy.com, you could do so. Use the promo code podcast and get 10% off each month of your subscription. Once again, you want to follow me on Twitter, you could do so at 14a.walsh. You want to follow Shy, you could do so as well at Mr. Bear here. He's not there. He's here. So you could do that there. And for me, Bear, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
We go.
Peace out. All right. Sounds good. I don't know. Keith always does that at the end where he gives it time, so I've learned how to do it. All right. I'll talk to you here in a little bit.
All right, man.
Good stuff.
I'll talk to
later.
You. See you.